Talking with John Doggett, Executive Vice President, National Corn Growers Association. Great to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Okay, so we're wrapping up what was an interesting week last week. Capitol Hill, you had plenty of things going on, as if we were just focusing on Capitol Hill, but one of them fairly close to you, Senate Farm Bill.
Well, we were certainly glad to see that the Senate Ag Committee got a bill done. They got it done in a bipartisan fashion, only one vote against it. They're going to go to the floor. The majority leader is very excited about getting a farm bill done, and hopefully before the 4th of July.
Was there any surprise about that one vote? Because that came from who is traditionally a farm state and farm bill supporter, Chuck Grassley.
Well, I think Senator Grassley has long been known for having some interest in payment limits and actively engaged issues, and he did not like what the final package had, and Senator Grassley tends to go the direction Senator Grassley wants to go, and that was where he was going to be. It wasn't a big surprise. I think the surprise we had was how quickly the markup went. It went pretty much without any major hiccup whatsoever, so we were glad to see that.
Did you see anything in those 66 amendments that came through, anything that jumped out at you at all?
You know, not really. I think that the amendments that we're going to be concerned about are going to be the amendments that will be on the floor. We're particularly concerned, again, about payment limit issues, adjusted gross income restrictions, actively engaged restrictions, and then, of course, things that will the biggest thing that we're concerned about would be anything that would affect crop insurance.
There's also, we heard, the possibility, it was not offered, but Senator Thune had an amendment dealing, I believe, with PLC and ART. Have you heard anything about that? Is that possibly coming?
You know, we're not really sure whether Senator Thune and Senator Brown will intend to bring up their legislation again. They might. I think that probably what they're going to be doing is looking at two things. One, do they have enough votes to get their amendment passed? And number two, what would that do for final passage of the bill off the floor of the Senate? And I think they're both very aware of the need to calculate on both of those fronts.
And it brings up an interesting point, because on the other side of the Hill, you've got the House, and they still haven't passed a farm bill, but at least we're moving closer.
We hope we're moving closer. We're going to have to see how this immigration thing plays out. It is very contentious. Anytime you talk about immigration, it's going to be contentious. We'll have to see how that plays out. The fact that the president on Friday said that he was going to oppose the more moderate of the two bills, how's that going to affect things? And I think that the Democrats have some serious concerns about some of the things that are in either bill.
In order to get that vote, though, we've heard immigration has to hit the floor one way or the other. If that doesn't happen, any ideas where we go from there, or is it a toss-up?
You know, that's hard to speculate on that front. If they can't get the immigration thing to come to the floor and get off the floor, I think that puts a real burden, again, on Chairman Conaway to try to find a way to get enough Republican votes. He's worked hard on that, but it's really, really hard to tell right now.
So let's talk about something that's much clearer, and that's the trade issue, whether or not we're talking about NAFTA or we're talking about China or, at this point, any country. What are you seeing and what are you watching in trade?
Obviously, NAFTA is our biggest concern because Mexico is our number one customer for corn. NAFTA has been a very, very good thing for agriculture and particularly for the corn industry. We want to keep what we got. And, this concern about potential withdrawal from NAFTA has a lot of folks very, very concerned. On the broader front on the trade front, it's the uncertainty. I had one of our grower leaders in my office on Friday who said, if I just had a better idea of what was going to happen next on any one of these fronts, I'd feel better, but there is so much uncertainty across the board on trade, on the farm bill, on a lot of other things that we're working on, particularly trade. We're hearing from our growers over and over again. We have the potential of a trade war with these tariffs and with China. China's not a big corn customer, but they're a big customer of soybeans, and they're a big customer of one of our customers, and that's the pork industry. So it's the uncertainty.
Let's go back to NAFTA for just a moment. We have had inklings from the president that maybe we're a whole lot closer in this trilateral agreement with Mexico than Canada. Any idea whether or not a bilateral with Mexico could work, and is it even feasible at this point?
Indications are from both Canada and Mexico is they want to keep a trilateral agreement into place. It is not just an agreement with the United States and Mexico, an agreement with the United States and Canada. It is an agreement across all three countries. So for us to unilaterally say, well, we're only going to have one member of this trio, that's going to be a little difficult. Canada and Mexico are also equal partners in this, as well as the United States.
So you mentioned in there China, and you throw in some of the tariffs that are pending at this point, aluminum and steel. You've got, and if obviously, China ready to retaliate. What would you say to producers? Obviously, they're concerned, but what would you say to producers as they just watch the trade?
Well, first of all, understand how important trade is to agriculture and to the corn industry. The trade issue in my 16 years here, most years never broke into the top five of our most important issues, sometimes into the top 10, usually in the top 10, but not always. Now it's number one or number two, depending on where you go and who you ask. So trade is obviously a lot more important than it was just a few years ago. So one, become more knowledgeable on the trade front. We've done a lot to educate our growers and our members. We're going to continue to do that. And two, get engaged. Make sure that your member of Congress, your senator, whoever you can talk to that's in a position, in a policy position, let them know how important trade is, how it affects your industry, your family, your farm, your community.
So we talk about trade and maybe buyers of our corn. Ethanol industry is a big buyer. We've had some good trade when it comes to ethanol, but that also works into a whole nother front, if you will, and another challenge, and that's the renewable fuel standard. What's the latest on this?
Well, we continue to try to have more access to the domestic market, and that's a lot of that is around infrastructure. A lot of it is around regulatory relief. So what most cars today can burn up to 15% ethanol, but we don't have enough pumps. And then we also, where we have pumps, we also don't have the ability to burn E15 year-round. You can't use it in the summer months. There's a waiver for E10 for summer months. We need to get a waiver for E15 in all blends above 10%. Then that gives the consumer a much better chance to make their own mind up. What kind of fuel do they want to put in their vehicle? And so what we're looking for is, let's get the regulatory relief done through EPA, and then that will open the door for us to continue to push for more infrastructure domestically.
Last week, Scott Pruitt, Administrator, EPA, spent some time in central states, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota. Not really a warm welcome for him. How would you describe that?
Most of our folks are Midwestern nice. Last week might have been the exception to that. I know people were very, very upset, and some of them felt that they didn't get some answers from the administrator from some really pointed questions. So it's going to be difficult for our folks to deal with that. They were quite upset, one, that he came, and two, that they didn't feel it was a very good visit.
Moving forward, obviously, those are the top issues of the day. Is there anything else that's maybe on the back burner that's maybe starting to simmer, hasn't jumped up and started boiling yet?
There's kind of an odd thing to throw out there. The Trump administration talked about moving all of the welfare programs into one department. That would be taking food stamps out of USDA, and their folks say, well, why not do that? Well, it's 75% or 73% of the whole department. You move that out, you take the Forest Service, which is at USDA, and move it over to the Interior Department, so it's with BLM. Yeah, you start moving a few more things out, and pretty soon you don't have a department. In fact, you don't have much of an agency. This isn't going to happen soon. It's not going to happen this year, next year. It's not going to happen in, you know, it could be sometime on down the road. But we're going to have a census in 2 years. The year after that, we're going to have redistricting. We'll have fewer and fewer rural districts. We're going to have fewer and fewer ag districts. You start taking apart our support in the House of Representatives, you start taking apart USDA, I think we need to be concerned about that. I think we need to make sure that we know what our fellow Americans are thinking about agriculture. We need to address their concerns. We need to teach them a lot. But we need to be relevant. And we need to be relevant in the face of a lot of different places, that a lot of different forces that are out there trying to do some funny things. So we need to pay attention. Got to be relevant.
John, great to see you. Thanks for your work. Best of luck.
Thank you.
John Doggett, Executive Vice President, National Corn Growers Association. From Washington, D.C., it's the Agribusiness Report.